You're listening to the Bill Good Program on CKNW 98. Once again, here's Bill Good.
Thank you. We did a number of programs earlier this year on the subject of autism, children born with a debilitating neurological disorder, which makes learning and communicating difficult and makes them hard to raise. Last week, a judge in B.C. Supreme Court ruled that the B.C. government had an obligation to fund treatment. Dr. Sabrina Freeman is executive director of an organization called Feet B.C., Families for Early Autism Treatment. Gene Lewis is a director with Feet. Both have autistic children. Both were part of the court action. Gene Lewis, let me start by asking you to give us a brief description of what autism is.
Well, certainly, Bill. Autism is a neurological disorder that seems to block the natural development process of young children. Typically, developing children learn naturally from their environment. Autistic children do not, which generally means they do not learn appropriate language skills, social skills, and in addition, many develop negative behaviors. And in the more extreme forms, some untreated children develop very self-injurious behavior.
Dr. Freeman, from past programs, I know what little treatment the BC government has provided in the past, and it's been extremely difficult to access. Does this ruling change that?
We hope it does change that. The Supreme Court's decision is crystal clear, and they actually introduced a pilot project, supposedly to study best practices on the treatment of autism, the Friday before the Monday that the court case started, and we don't think this was a coincidence. What we think is it was a last-ditch effort on the part of the government to buy a $7.5 million argument to defend themselves in court. And they had to do this because the reality is that in British Columbia, it is a treatment-free zone for autism unless parents pay for themselves. So we hope with this ruling that the government will provide this, and then every parent will be able to have this if their child needs it and the physician prescribes it regardless of ability to pay.
We're talking about 14,000 or so children in British Columbia?
Actually far less. The Ministry for Children and Families, their number is 1,273 children. I think that's a little low, but those are the official numbers.
Gene Lewis, LOVAS is a treatment that's funded in Alberta, correct?
It is.
And in Ontario, in many U.S. states. This judgment spoke to the effectiveness of LOVAS?
Yes, it did. The judge said that it is beyond debate that ABA is the treatment that these children require. It is absolutely beyond debate. She looked at all the thousands of pages of evidence and all the other so-called treatments, and it was beyond debate that this is required.
I think actually in her words, she actually said it's uniquely effective. The judge actually used those words in her judgment.
LOVAS, as I understand it, isn't a cure-all. It's a treatment that works effectively with many children.
That's correct. The landmark study that was done at UCLA in 1987 had two groups of children. The group that received this treatment, 47% of those children, after 2.5 years, were indistinguishable from their peers, meaning they had lost the diagnosis of autism based on professional diagnosticians.
So tell me what LOVAS is.
Okay, what LOVAS treatment does is it takes the thousands of skills and concepts that typically developing children learn naturally and breaks them down into small, manageable chunks using the principles of behavior modification, which are derived from a field in psychology called applied behavioral analysis. Then skilled therapists work with the child one-on-one, ideally in a 40-hour-a-week program, to get beyond the autism barrier and train the child to master all those thousands of chunks of knowledge and skill. And it's kind of like building a house brick by brick. It is a difficult, tedious, expensive process, but science has shown us that it is uniquely effective in treating the autistic disorder.
How expensive?
It runs anywhere from $45,000 to $60,000 per year.
Per child?
Per child.
But no one questions the cost of cancer treatment if a child has cancer.
Not at all. And also nobody thinks about what happens to children who are untreated, because it costs over $100,000 to warehouse an untreated adult, and autistic people will live 80, 85 years like everybody else, and so you do the math. It's much, much cheaper. It's front-loaded, and governments don't like to pay for front-loaded treatments.
One can't help but wonder, listening to you and looking at the highlights from the judgment, if this couldn't have implications for other children who have different kinds of learning disabilities. Is there an obligation on the part of government, society through government, to make sure those kids get proper treatment?
I think the issue here is that we do have a Canadian healthcare system, and most children are indeed part of that system. Autistic children have not been. This judgment brings them into the Canadian healthcare system. I would think that most children who have debilitating illnesses already receive treatment. For those who do not, who are excluded, and I'm not familiar with those, it would absolutely have implications as long as there is indeed science-based treatment out there that the government is not paying for.
Part of the problem in the past has been treatment was made available, but there was a huge waiting list. So you might sit for a long time hoping to get some form of help?
Not exactly. There really was no treatment. And in fact, during the court case, the expert witness of the government actually discredited all the treatments that were being provided in British Columbia.
Really?
That's correct, yes. There has been no science-based effective treatment for children with autism up to this point.
So many of the parents that I talked to in recent years have been waiting for some sort of false hope.
That's correct.
That wasn't there.
That's
but they
correct.
Were being told by government and government agencies to just wait in line.
Yeah, that's right.
For support services.
Bill, you have to understand, and I know this sounds a little extreme, but it's absolutely true. This business is a $10 million industry on taking care of children with autism. Unfortunately, the industry does not have science-based treatment. And so it's $10 million of babysitting, respite, child care, whatever you want to call it. It's not science-based treatment.
And Lovas is?
Absolutely.
So what do you say to parents now, the hundreds of parents who have been waiting, paying through the nose to somehow get a Lovas treatment program for their kids, many mortgaging and double mortgaging and triple mortgaging and even losing their homes? When will this treatment be made available? Do you have any way of knowing?
We don't know what the government is going to do. We are hoping that they are going to do the right thing. We are hoping that, ideally, what would be good is if they would bring somebody up to the universities up here to treat the next generation of treatment professionals to be able to administer this treatment to children in British Columbia. At this point, if you are a parent of a child with autism and you want this treatment, you're going, unfortunately, to have to bring somebody up from the States to set up your treatment, and then you'll be able to hire therapists locally. That's obviously not ideal. We need a BC solution, and that's why we need a chair at the university to teach this.
But that's still a long time down the road for parents and kids today who are affected.
That's right. In the meantime, what I would highly recommend is to bring up somebody who is a bona fide treatment professional who has experience with this protocol, the Lovas protocol, and get your child into a treatment program as soon as possible.
We'll take a break from the news to the bottom of the hour, and we come back more discussion on this, and I welcome your calls, questions, comments, stories, because I know many of you are living this. 280-9898 is my number on the TELUS Mobility or the Cantel Networks, dial the asterisk and 9898. My lines are open to you.
You're listening to the Bill Good Program on CKNW 98.
Now listen carefully to this tape, for it'll self-destruct after I state my last will and testament. First, my estate worth $25 billion goes to my correction of wishes goes to and my $4 billion worth of goes to, and last but not least, to my dear, I leave you my...
A Bix pickle makes the perfect snack, almost any time. It's the no-fat snack with crunch that can only say Bix.
A&W Records proudly presents the greatest cruising collection of all time. You get Eddie Cochran,
the Summertime,
the Beach Boys, California, Manfred Mann, and more. Four CDs, only $4.99 each, plus tax at A&W. Order today. Save COD charges and go to A&W for Cruising the Dub while quantities last, jingle not included.
Let's all go to A&W.
Weeknights, we entertain thoughts and thoughtfully entertain with the Kitchen Table Talk of David Berner and friends. 7 till 10, only on CKNW AM 980. BC's news leader. It's 11:30. This is CKNW 98 News.
Good morning. I'm Mike Clark. The news for Homeworks. A deal has been struck and on-call surgical services have now been restored at Royal Inland Hospital in Kamloops. The six surgeons and the Thompson Health Region finalized the agreement this morning. Hospital spokesperson Dr. Dave Poulin says the health region is happy with the resolution.
It includes restoring the summer slowdown by next year and also modifying the Christmas and March break slowdowns as well.
The dispute lasted 10 days. BC's ambulance paramedics have postponed their planned job action until tomorrow morning. The paramedics, represented by CUPE, had planned to begin working to rule tonight, but spokesperson John Strohmeyer says public safety for the long weekend and schedule changes have resulted in a postponement until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Strohmeyer says the job action is aimed at the ambulance service, and emergency services and patients won't really be affected. NW News time is 11:31. Now with all-day traffic, here's Pat Pankhoust.
Traffic is for Air Transat holidays. If you are heading down to the border crossings, we've got the latest for you. The Peace Arch, 20 to 30 minutes southbound, 5 minutes northbound. The Pacific Highway truck crossing reporting a 40-minute wait south, 5 minutes north. Aldergrove has a 5-minute wait south, 10 minutes northbound, and a 5-minute wait each way at Huntington. Currently no sailing waits on the VC ferries, and we do have an accident just been cleared out of the way at Loheed and Gullardy, so that won't slow you down anymore. Radar to watch out for, southbound, south end of the Oak Street Bridge, and we also have radar westbound Highway 1 just east of 232nd. No scheduled road work or maintenance delays today on the Portman Bridge or the Lionsgate Bridge, so things are moving well across there. Just remember, there is some road work on Georgia Street between Nicola and Burrard. That's traffic for Air Transat holidays. And London and Manchester, air only from just $5.99. Restrictions apply. Book today. That's all day traffic on CKNW 98.
Next on the Bill Good Show, triumph for the families of autistic children. The province is forced to pay for treatment. Greater Vancouver weather, sunny this afternoon, highs near 22. Currently outside Pacific Center, it's 17 degrees. That's the news for Homeworks, the people to trust for energy-efficient home renovations. Homeworks, part of the BC Gas Inc. group of companies. 1-877-OK-TRUST. Next news on CKNW when it happens. The next scheduled news, the major at noon. I'm Mike Clark.
Voted best newscast by Canada's news directors. This is BC's news leader, CKNW AM 980.
Once again, Sleep Country has been chosen to debut a brand new mattress.
This is so exciting. The Simmons Mattress Company has asked Sleep Country to be the exclusive retailer in our market area to introduce the brand new Beautyrest.
You've seen the Beautyrest ads on TV, the ones with the bowling ball pen.
People call them the Do Not Disturb mattress. Now Simmons is introducing brand new models with even better motion separation.
And that means a better, more restful night's sleep.
Plus, they are no flip mattresses. All other mattresses have to be flipped regularly to make them last longer.
But not the new Beautyrest. This new design never needs to be flipped. Now, let's talk about the savings.
Simmons has given us terrific cost reductions on all our regular Beautyrest mattresses.
Plus, Sleep Country has special introductory prices on the new Beautyrests.
But you have to come to Sleep Country to see them.
Sleep Country, Canada. Bye-bye.
Audi presents driving etiquette number 14 in a series, driving accessories. Say you bought a new Audi A4, and with today's exceptional lease rate, you saved quite a bit. With this extra cash flow, you may choose to buy accessories to match your blast-to-drive A4. Here's your guide. Driving gloves. Ideal for road trips, but they can clash with most outfits. Driving goggles. Fashionable during the Hoover administration, goggles are now, what's the term, dorky. Lastly, metallic jumpsuits, not unlike speedboat racers wear. Please avoid unless you want to look like a large oven mitt. For other tips on etiquette, or to find out exactly how much you can save on the new A4, see your Audi dealer today.
Audi is a proud sponsor of the Fort Langley Summer Horse Show, August 16th to 20th. For more information and for tickets, please call 888-4585. That's 888-4585.
You're listening to the Bill Good Program on CKNW 98. Once again, here's Bill Good.
Thank you. A BC Supreme Court judge recently ruled the BC government has an obligation to fund treatment for children with autism. Dr. Sabrina Freeman, executive director of the organization called FEAT BC, Families for Early Autism Treatment, and Gene Lewis, a director with FEAT, both have autistic children. Both were part of the court action. I should clarify one number that I presented before the news. This was from the Acting Assistant Deputy Minister Policy Division of the Ministry of Children and Families. Said there are 1,400 autistic children out of the 14,000 in B.C. who qualify for help under the special needs category. And that fits more with your numbers, with the 1,400. It's not a large number of people, but it's a high-impact group of people. And for parents like you two, it can be a horrifically emotional and expensive experience. You've both had children who have low VAS experience. Tell me how effective it's been for your children.
Well, our son is now 6.5, and he started therapy when he was just about 3 years old. And before he started, he had lost his language. He had language which he lost, went through regression. He became very ritualistic and perseverative and tantrumed constantly. He didn't appear to know who I was or his dad or brother. And he was going nowhere fast. He was regressing hugely. Now, in the 3.5 years since we have done this, he has progressed. His progress is slow but steady. He's going in the right direction. He is now verbal. He can get his needs and wants met and, you know, create sentences, 4- and 5-word sentences. He knows his colors, his numbers, his letters. He learned to ski this winter. He learned to ice skate. He swims. He went to soccer camp. He's a happy little boy. We've got a long way to go, but he's a happy little boy with a bright future.
And you totally credit Lovas?
Absolutely. He is absolutely a product of this intervention.
Dr. Freeman?
Yes, my child started when it was 2 months before her 4th birthday, and now she's 12 and a half years of age. When she was little, she was completely in her own little world. She would be spinning and flapping and singing 24 hours a day. She wouldn't sleep. We'd be up at all hours of the night. We'd be chronically sleep deprived. She had no use for language. She had no concept of anybody else out there but herself. Now she's going to grade 7. She's completely mainstreamed in a normal school. She plays 6 instruments, a few of them quite well.
These kids are often brilliant kids.
Yes, except that you have to be able to get to that.
Yeah.
Yes, she's very bright. She does very well in spelling and math. She still has issues in language arts. She was completely nonverbal before. Now she's quite verbal. She gets her needs met very easily. She can talk about any topic that interests her quite well. And she actually is going to have a future ahead of her that will be independent. Our goal right now is to make sure that we get to complete independence, so she'll start, she'll hold down a job, and she'll actually create she'll be a taxpayer.
Be a taxpaying member.
That's
of
right.
The community.
Yeah, if she hadn't had this, I should mention, unfortunately, I do believe that she would not be living with us today. And it pains me to say that, but to be brutally honest.
And you credit Lovas?
Absolutely. And it's not just that we credit it. The data is clear. We take data on every single solitary thing that she learns, and you see from not mastering it to mastering it, and then you go on. And there's data every step of the way, and so you can look at where the child was and where the child is.
Something that has confused me since I started doing programs on this issue is the fact that if you had a child who was autistic and diagnosed autistic and you needed help, you went to the Ministry of Children.
That's right.
And not to the Ministry of Health. And I've not, the judge spoke to that.
Yes, she did. The problem was that the government tried this experiment that they took all special needs children away from health and put them into Ministry of Children and Families. And Dr. Tom Barnett, who's the head of, who's a child psychiatrist and the representative of the BC Association, said it's been an abysmal failure and it's about time to take all these special needs children out of MCF, which is designed for child protection, and put them back into health where you have psychologists, psychiatrists, pediatricians, and people who are qualified to actually decide on treatment for these children. So it's been a
social worker should not be determining whether or not your child receives treatment or what treatment your child should receive.
That's right. That's not their area of expertise. And, in fact, it puts a social worker into a very difficult position.
Let me take some calls. 280-9898. Robert, hello. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, well, Bill, first time caller. I'm a parent of a 30-year-old autistic child. I call him a child even though he's 30 years old. Is the treatment effective for adults at that age? Or can there be any treatment effective at all?
Dr. Freeman.
It's very, very different if you're dealing with an adult, because an adult has had 30 years of doing things a certain way. If I were the parent of an adult, even though I know it's not going to be as effective and it's going to be quite different, I would still do it personally. Even though the data is not as clear on the results of an adult, but it's certainly better than doing nothing. And I actually think that these principles would work quite well.
Yes. Robert?
Yes, I see. He's collapsible autistic, self-abusive, well, I'm talking about when he was young. He did have some vocabulary when he was young that lost it, just like you explained. And, you know, we've reached out all through the years that really he hasn't improved much in all those years. And your program's quite interesting.
Thank you, and I wish you all the best. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More of your calls, questions, comments, stories at 280-9898. My lines are open to you. Back after a break.
The World Today.
This is Philip Till reporting on the program today. Why last week's fiasco on the high seas is just the beginning. Military personnel say making contract deals with civilians is a sloppy way to do business and eventually is going to cost soldiers their lives.
The World Today with Philip Till and John McCoe. This afternoon at 2 on CKNW 98, BC's news leader.
The ambulance paramedics of BC want to urge you to use caution when driving. Over the years, they've seen far too many auto injuries on long weekends. Here in BC, nearly 500 people are killed each year in car accidents, and about 55,000 people are injured. Please slow down and remember to drive defensively. This long weekend, let's not meet by accident. A message from the ambulance paramedics of BC, QP Local 873.
Hot dogs, popcorn, ice cold drinks.
I'll have a couple of dogs for the boy and me.
That'll be $8.
$8 for two hot dogs? Forget it. Give me a popcorn.
Okay, $4.50.
What? Well, then just give me a couple of waters.
That'll be $2.50. Hey, these are good cups.
Looking for free summer fun? Sign up to TELUS.net and surf 2 months for free. Offer ends August 31st. Some conditions apply. Call 1-877-310-4NET.
How's your water, son? Can I have a sip?
What you're about to hear is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which means it will probably sound very, very strange to your ears.
Well, I was with my wife at the mall, and we had just left our favorite restaurant after dinner, and we walked by my bank, and I noticed that people were inside, and they were doing business, like making withdrawals and getting loans and the like, and I looked at my watch, and it was late, and I said to my wife, honey, you'd better pinch me.
Honey, you'd better pinch us all. Bank of Montreal is my bank.
How can I help you?
Maybe it should be your bank.
You're listening to the Bill Good Program on CKNW 98. Once again, here's Bill Good.
Thank you. Talking about dealing with autism and an important judgment from the BC Supreme Court that ruled that the government has an obligation to fund treatment, low-vast treatment specifically to children with autism. Dr. Sabrina Freeman, Executive Director of Families for Early Autism Treatment, and Jean Lewis, director with FIAT, both have autistic children. Both are part of the court action, and I welcome your calls, your questions, your comments. But this does seem significant in a province where the government has defended its record on health care constantly during its mandate. And yet right next door, I mean, we all know people personally who've felt they had to move from BC to Alberta in order to get the funding for treatment of their children, which the Alberta government gives in a fair fashion.
Absolutely. We know of 15 families who've moved from British Columbia to Alberta, and we're in touch with these families, and they instantly get the money they need, they purchase the services, and their children are all in excellent treatment programs.
And all that's required is a physician's diagnosis. It doesn't have to be re-examined and re-examined and re-examined. I mean, they get a physician's diagnosis with a physician saying.
You said to me off air that parents in this province have been brutalized.
They absolutely have been brutalized in this province. The children and the families have been brutalized by this government's mandates.
How long has Alberta had an autism program or had the therapy available, and how long did it take them to get it up and working? Do you know?
I can tell you that a few years ago there was a court case, and the justice there, Justice Dayal, proclaimed that this is the responsibility of the state, and therefore the Alberta government did the right thing and set up the programs, and now every child is covered. It wasn't because the bureaucrats in Alberta were nice guys. It was because a judge ordered it. But the difference here is that the civil servants in Alberta did the right thing. And that's my worry. The Supreme Court decision is crystal clear. It's very, very strong. And if the government does not provide intensive behavioral autism treatment, they're breaking the law. Now, if this government chooses to appeal that decision, it's likely a political move so they can postpone the final decision until after the next election. Now, sadly for our children and all the children with autism in British Columbia, what this political game is going to do is it's going to further victimize the most vulnerable in our society, our autistic children. And so I would like to urge Premier Dosanjh not to appeal the Supreme Court decision. If he can get involved put politics aside. It's time to do the right thing and give kids with autism the effective treatment they deserve and have a right to under our Constitution.
And their parents some relief from the financial burden that they have been bearing unfairly for a period of years.
Absolutely.
We expect this government to do the honorable thing.
Deborah.
Yes.
In Surrey. Go ahead.
Yes. Our son was diagnosed with autism in January, and we began an ABA program in March. And prior to that program, he had absolutely no language, and his progress has just been astounding. And we were lucky enough to have him diagnosed with autism by two separate doctors before we went to Sunny Hill. And I'll tell you, our experience at Sunny Hill was, it was an absolute farce. We were given misinformation, and it was lucky that we'd researched prior to going there. But my concern is with the people that go to Sunny Hill first, because sometimes that's their first stop. They wait the 6 months or a year, and then they go to Sunny Hill. And I had one woman phone me in tears just a couple of nights ago who wanted to come and watch our therapy. And she'd been informed by Sunny Hill that ABA therapy, the Levasse method, was number one, a waste of money, and number two, it wasn't shown to be effective. And we found that when we were at Sunny Hill, they told us that Levasse had only used high-functioning children, and it wasn't proven to be effective. None of them had heard of the New York report. None of them had even heard of this Wisconsin report that was the study that was a replica.
You know, I appreciate your call. I'm reminded that when Gretchen Bruin announced the pilot project, many parents who had been in contact with me said they don't need a pilot project. The studies have been done. They're there, and that seemed to be compelling for the judge as well.
That's right. The pilot project is a $7.5 million reason to buy an argument. That's what it is. Now, let's say, though, we take the government at their word that they really want to find out what best practices are. Well, they're reinventing the wheel. The New York Report has already done this. They spent millions of dollars over 3 years, and in fact, they've published it, and it will cost $15. We don't need to spend $7.5 million. We can spend $15 to know what to do.
And put $7 million toward helping kids and families
today.
That's
right.
We need the help.
Yeah, there's also another issue that I find actually more pernicious. The problem here is that the 75 children that would be in the pilot project, they're going to be in an experimental treatment. Now, we already know what works. So they're actually going to be harmed because that 3 years of development of crucial brain development, they're actually not going to be able to take advantage of what we know is uniquely effective. Instead, they're going to be in an experimental pilot project. So I find that not only a waste of taxpayers' money, but it's also morally reprehensible. And I think that this pilot project has to be scrubbed immediately. And the money, as you said, has to go in either to creating more treatment programs for the children, giving the parents the money to purchase it,
or for training.
Either.
Claire in White Rock.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I'm phoning just first of all to applaud the parents who've been involved in this court case. I'm an ABA therapist. I've been doing it for coming up to 5 years now. And I just wanted to reintroduce something that came up that Dr. Freeman was talking about earlier, and that is we have the first part of the equation now. We have legal recognition that it needs to be funded. Now we need to really think about service provision. I have been working in this field for 5 years again, and I want to continue on. I want to go ahead and be a consultant. Right now, parents are paying for consultants to come up from the U.S., and I have to go down to the United States to get the training that I need. There's currently no university in British Columbia or Canada that can train me or anybody else to provide this treatment.
Excellent point. Jean Lewis, you spoke to that briefly earlier.
Yeah, that is the sad reality in B.C. today. And we are going to lose our best and brightest senior therapists to the U.S., to places like Columbia, Rutgers, UCLA, universities who offer, you know, these degree programs. And hopefully they'll come back to British Columbia and practice.
Why has there been so much controversy about this? Why have so many healthcare professionals, one caller mentioned the people at Sunny Hill, why have they been so loath to recognize a program that seems to work for so many families?
Okay, first of all, we have to separate healthcare professionals from doctors. The psychiatrists are firmly firmly behind this treatment method. I mean, they all know that it is uniquely effective.
Didn't several of them sign
documents? Yes, 63 of them actually signed a document saying it's medically necessary and that it should be covered by MSP or the Ministry of Health. Now, in addition, there are a huge number of pediatricians who also know about this and recommend this to their clients. But then you have, unfortunately, a situation where you have people who are actually on the government payroll or contractees who don't know how to do this. So unfortunately, they're going to lose contracts if they can't do this. So the best thing for them to do is to say it's terrible so that they don't lose part of the $10 million contract.
The $10 million industry in British Columbia to babysit autistic kids.
And it's not working.
And it's not working.
No. I mean, it's great babysitting, but why do we need babysitting? What about treatment?
Final segment after this.
You're listening to the Bill... You're listening to the Bill Good Program on CKNW 98. Once again, here's Bill Good.
Thank you. Talking with Dr. Sabrina Freeman and Gene Lewis, both with FEAT, the Families for Early Autism Treatment Group, and they both have personal experience. They both have children who are autistic. Both have received treatment that has been effective, treatment called LOVAS, which has been in the past highly controversial. Though it doesn't sound to me that it's so controversial today in the light of the Supreme Court ruling that deemed it to be the only treatment really known or proved to be effective.
That's correct. Particularly since the Supreme Court Justice, she based her decisions on thousands upon thousands of pages of science and expert witnesses. So the science is clear. The controversy does not come, it's not well-based.
Don't you get angry when you think of how hard you're having to fight for your kids and other kids in the province?
I do. I feel that we've tried everything. The courts, honestly, were the last resort. We tried everything. We tried to get meetings with ministers and deputy ministers, and they would ignore us. FEAT has sent around an information packet to every single MLA in the province, and it has been universally ignored. Joy McPhail has known about this problem since spring of 1996.
So has Penny Pretty.
Yeah, they just ignore us. And part of the reason is that they've got the ear of the bureaucrats who've been hoodwinked by the existing autism industry. And at the end of the day, the children are not getting what they need, and it's a crime.
2809898. Robert in Surrey.
Yes. I agree with the caller or your guest, but one of the things that isn't coming up is that there are some concerns with the LOVAS program. And it's basically with behavior modification. You are essentially training a kid to do behaviors, and there's a fear that it could be somewhat of a robot. You're subduing the natural personality of the child.
Well, let me ask one of the parents here today to speak to that issue.
Many detractors of LOVAS talk about robotic responses from children. I guess I have a couple of comments on that. First of all, this therapy is extremely powerful. So that means that it can either be really, really effective or really, really dangerous. And that's why it is essential that a highly, highly trained behavior consultant oversee the programming for an individual child. I've been involved in this for 4 years now, and Dr. Sabrina Freeman, probably, seven or eight. And I can say I've never seen a child become robotic as a result of LOVAS therapy. It's quite the opposite. And in terms of suppressing a child's personality, an untreated autistic child, quite frankly, I don't know how one identifies that child's true personality without this kind of treatment.
You want to add to that?
Yeah, we would love to be able to have a very child-led approach where you just let the child explore his world. But unfortunately, the harsh reality of this condition is the child will explore his world to the point where he will be kicked out of school and he will eventually be institutionalized. So there really is no choice, although I personally...
In a jail.
If he's high enough functioning in a jail and if he's too low functioning in an institution, neither of those choices a parent would like to make. And I certainly have never seen a child in a good program who is at all robotic. In fact, they actually are given the skills to be able to talk, and their personality comes out. How's the personality going to come out if they don't have language?
Have you had response to the court decision in the days since it came down from the provincial government?
No.
Anywhere?
Not a word. Not a word. I have not heard one thing. Nobody's called us. In fact, in the media, generally, it's no comment. I don't know why, but they have decided to ignore this.
Well, we haven't, and I thank you both for being here today. Still to come, marijuana laws up in smoke, and a look ahead to the U.S. presidential election.